Thanks for connecting. And if you like what you hear, please share.
I signed as an undrafted free agent with the Seattle Seahawks after the 2006 draft. I went to the NFL Combine in Indianapolis and did that whole deal. And so that was my world for a while. And we're like, just see where that takes me, right? And so I bounced around the NFL and played in NFL Europe over the next 3 years. After that, after my third season, bouncing around the NFL and not just feeling like I had a home in the NFL, the CFL had been calling and knocking on my door for a few years when I was in between teams in the NFL. And so I said, I'm gonna give that a go. I want to kind of set some roots as a pro a little bit. And so I was able to make that team in 2009 in that training camp. And I ended up spending the next 10 years with the BC Lions, with the Canadian Football League, where I would spend the remainder of my career. So in all, I played 13 seasons professionally.
Do you want to know how amazing people connect? Well, you're in the right place. Welcome to Marketing with Russ, aka hashtag Russ Selfie.
Today's episode brought to you by the State and Sublimity Chamber of Commerce, helping business and community thrive. Also by the Gregory Home Team of Keller Williams. For all your real estate needs, call the Gregory Home Team today.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Marketing with Russ, aka hashtag Russ Selfie. So glad to have you all with us again today. And today, I am so excited for a new friend, Travis Lule, who is with us today, who's going to tell us about his incredible journey from local here in Oregon into professional sports and then back into financial services where he is now. So really excited to hear about all that. But first, I want to remind you that I'm Russ Hedge. I'm a coach. I'm a motivational speaker. I'm an inspiration specialist. I love to inspire and encourage people. And today, it's all about you being inspired through Travis's journey. And I want to stop for just a moment before I get into too much more about me and just say hi to Travis and welcome him in. Hey, Travis, how's it going?
Russ, I'm doing great today. Thanks for having me on.
You are so welcome. You know, this podcast is all about how amazing people connect. And you have so much interesting connection throughout your journey that we're going to talk about today. I just want to remind people that I do love to connect with people. And if you want to connect with me, you can go to RussHedge.com. That's RussHedge.com. And that has all of my links to social media, to my email, to anything you would need. My website, obviously, is RussHedge.com. And that gives more information about me. And so today, we are going to skip past anything else, go directly to Travis. And Travis, tell us about how you got from Staten, Oregon to professional football and back.
Okay, I'll give you the short version because it was quite the journey. I was always into sports as a kid, got into it in high school and ended up towards the end of my high school career. I had some colleges recruiting me. I would have chosen any sport. I just love sports. I love competing. I love the camaraderie and all that stuff. Football ended up being the one that was going to be my meal ticket that would help me get my college paid for. So I was fortunate to have a scholarship offer from Montana State University in Bozeman, Montana. Had never been to Montana, hadn't considered it prior, but I went out there, visited it, really liked the people. I'm, you know, kind of an outdoorsy kid, and so it felt like a good environment. So I went there and ended up having feel really fortunate that Bozeman was the place that found me, even though I would have told you I wanted to stay in Oregon and play at one of the local small colleges and be close to family and all that. So I ended up in Montana. We had a pretty good run. Had a good group of guys. We helped the program kind of elevate to a level it hadn't been in a few years. Hadn't beat our rival University of Montana since 1984, which was the year after I was born. Wow. To date myself. So it'd been a long time since Montana State had beaten a rival, and we won 3 out of 4. My group of guys, or my class. So we ended up having a good tenure there. I started getting some opportunities to play professionally. While I was there, I got my degree in finance. I was, took my studies very seriously, and that's what sport was to me coming out. It was an opportunity to get my degree potentially paid for, and that's what I was fortunate to do. So it wasn't like I went there to go play professionally, but that opportunity presented itself at the end of my college playing career. So I signed an I signed as an undrafted free agent with the Seattle Seahawks after the 2006 draft. I went to the NFL Combine in Indianapolis and did that whole deal. And so that was my world for a while. And we're like, just see where that takes me, right? And so I bounced around the NFL and played in NFL Europe over the next 3 years. After that, after my third season, bouncing around the NFL and not just feeling like I had a home in the NFL, the CFL had been calling and knocking on my door for a few years when I was in between teams in the NFL. And so I said, I'm gonna give that a go. I want to kind of set some roots as a pro a little bit. And so I was able to make that team in 2009 in that training camp. And I ended up spending the next 10 years with the BC Lions, with the Canadian Football League, where I would spend the remainder of my career. So in all, I played 13 seasons professionally. I was a member of the 2011 Grey Cup Championship team in BC, which was a really fun moment. That was Vancouver was a host city, so we were like the home team. And then after I retired from playing, we started to say, okay, what do we want the rest of our life to look like? And I had been in communication with my brother and my father, obviously here at the financial planning firm, Lule Financial, where I am now. I'd been in talks with them kind of every year, are you going to come back? And this is where the business is and all that kind of stuff. And at the end of it, when my wife and I sat down and we didn't want to just run down here right away and make that the default. We sat back and were very intentional about that next move because, you know, we'd created a whole life and network and friendships and, you know, a marketability of my name in Vancouver that we chose to leave behind because this is where our family was. This was a really cool and unique opportunity to be kind of part of a second generation of a business that my father started 35 years ago here locally. And I'll tell you what, in 2020, we made the move kind of mid-COVID last April. It's been really good to be back around family, kind of validated that decision. I'm loving, you know, working with people and getting to work and serve in the community where our kids are, where the grandparents are and all that stuff. So that's kind of the Cliff Notes versions of how I ended up back in Staten.
And that was great. You got a lot in there in a short amount of time. So I want to ask you a question. So you go from really a small town. I mean, Staten outside of Salem, but it's really, I love Staten, but Staten Sublimity area, very small town, to some really bigger towns and then dealing with the NFL. What was it like to connect with people and try to integrate yourself? I know that obviously you're trying to make a name for yourself and show your skills, but what was it like really connecting with people on that different level?
Yeah, it was a combination of things. It was a lot of learning because I was, you know, sometimes growing up in a small town, that's kind of your worldview. That's how you see yourself. I'm a small town, went to a smaller high school, and then I played in the Big Sky Conference. So it's Division I AA or FCS football. So again, we're not playing on ABC or NBC every weekend. So then you're trying to make that jump to the NFL. And, you know, it actually kind of helped me in the sense that I was like, you know what, I've been the small school guy before, or the guy who wasn't at, you know, USC or Notre Dame before. So it kind of always, I don't know, put a positive chip on my shoulder, if you will. Like, I always want to prove that I can play with the big boys, right? And so it helped me in that sense. But I would say, like, looking back as a young guy, say, in the NFL, in those meeting rooms, there was a little bit more of a shock factor than maybe there were for some other guys, you know, who are used to playing prime time and being around, you know, household names all the time. So you just have to find a way to get over that. Because if you see yourself as like a level below those guys, like, oh, they're up on this pedestal, well, you're never gonna be their equal, right? You're never gonna be their peer. So I was able to learn a lot in my first couple of years of just watching some guys who were kind of mentors to me, guys like Matt Hasselbeck in the Seattle Seahawks locker room. And then I spent some time with the New Orleans Saints and Drew Brees, and watching the way those guys who were, you know, established starting franchise quarterbacks in the NFL, the way they carried themselves, the way they communicated with teammates in the locker room, I was just taking notes, right? Hey, whenever I get a chance to be the starting quarterback on a team, this is a good way to treat people and approach people so that people buy into your leadership. And so they have no idea, you know, in hindsight, that they helped me, you know, lead a team to a championship in Canada a few years later. But that was certainly a really important thing for me, was kind of picking out, finding mentors, guys who are leading the way and doing it by example.
Yeah, I think, well, that is so huge in anything in life, is leading by example. People look at you a whole lot more than they listen. They see what you're doing. You can talk all day long, and obviously you and I are both good at talking, but they really want to look at what you're doing. And I just think that's so interesting, because the only frame of reference I have is going from junior high quarterback to the varsity team my next year in high school, and being out on what I thought was a gigantic field in high school. But the difference of going from little Oregon town to an NFL stadium, or even a CFL stadium, that whole atmosphere, just crazy. So I know that probably a lot of times guys are different. Some were probably easier to get to know, and some were a little bit more difficult because they're dealing with egos and all of that. How do you kind of work with that?
Yeah, I think, you know, what's interesting is, you know, you hear a lot of stories about what guys are like, and, you know, and guys do, you know, accumulate a lot of money earlier in their careers, especially those guys who are high draft picks, and there's a lot of expectations on them. So, you know, you hear a lot of horror stories, but when you get in those locker rooms, it's mostly high character guys. Cause it actually was a really good life lesson for me that, you know, only those guys who were just had extreme God-given ability could overcome character deficiencies. Everybody else needed every ounce of character and integrity to, in order to perform at a high level. So the bulk of those guys in those locker rooms are really good, hardworking, high character individuals. And it makes sense at the elite level. That's what it takes to be there. So that was a really good lesson for me. And in dealing with other guys, I think as anything else in life, you just got to be yourself. You know, if you're trying to, you know, if you're putting on a cool face or trying to, you know, do things or act a certain type of way to fit in with the crowd, people see through that pretty easily, right? People are pretty intuitive. So as long as you're yourself, and you try to be the best version of yourself, I think people buy into that and feel that, and, you know, respect you regardless of, you know, where you're from, or if you're a little bit different than they are, or however it goes. So that was kind of always my approach. And the other side is to always approach everybody, you know, with a completely clean slate. Because oftentimes you hear things about, you know, in football, we'd hear somebody who played on a different team and, oh, he's a so-and-so, he was a cancer in the locker room, he was a troublemaker. And so you hear those types of things from the outside. But I always wanted to give a guy, you know, the benefit of the doubt and say, you know, how is he going to act in our locker room? And I think it helps that individual come into a locker room when you don't paint them with a certain brush before they get there. And I think that goes for any group, whether you're hiring somebody from the outside or no matter what the walk of life is. I think it generally behooves you in terms of building relationships to give that person the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I think you need to learn things for yourself. You need to look at people. And I think, you know, you talked about authenticity, really, you know, which is huge today. People are looking for people that are authentic in business and in life. And I think that a lot of people, what goes around comes around, the old saying. So people want to really put on their true side if they want to make those connections and relationships. And obviously, like you said, when you're in the middle of what's going on, even on an NFL or a CFL team, people are really more themselves at that point. So you're able to form those connections. So you had a great career and you wrapped all that up. And you guys made that decision. You probably had a pretty good name up there in Canada because you had been there a long time. They're probably selling your jersey and you're the king of the mountain there, so to speak. And then you decide to come back to work in the financial services with your family. Talk just a minute about that transition.
Sure. Yeah, to your point, that was, I'd either have the choice at some point in time to either walk away from football or find a career path in football. And whether that's, you know, coaching or on the business ops side or in front office management personnel side. And I had some opportunities, and that's part of what, you know, made the decision. It wasn't an overnight decision, because I did have some offers to go coach and, you know, had just been sought out by some other coaches as thought that, you know, we think, hey, we see some potential in you, think you could be a good coach someday. And I actually really enjoy that aspect. I enjoy working with people. And later in my career, you know, as you become the veteran mentor presence in a locker room full of guys that are 10 years younger than you, I really started to kind of enjoy that aspect of it. So it's something I always thought about. And there's no question there's a coach in me, right? I coached my two oldest daughters on a kindergarten, first grade girls basketball team last year in the little town in Washington we were living in. So there was a coach in me, no doubt. It was just a matter of whether I wanted to do that for a career. And as I mentioned, my educational background was in finance. This is what I'd always considered. And it was really cool and unique opportunity that was really actually pretty meaningful to me to be, you know, part of a legacy, family legacy business, right? And be part of the succession plan. My father won't work forever, though he is still full-time here working with us. And that was, you know, pretty unique timing for him to be able to, you know, incorporate me in along with my brother, who's been here for the last 10 years. But just to be able to go into business with, you know, my family, who my unbiased opinion would say are as high a character individuals as I've been around, right? And so I just, my brother was, you know, a no good scoundrel. Maybe I don't come home and go into business with him, right? But he's got a really good head on his shoulders. It's been kind of fun to see him grow up over the last 10 years into into a respected community member and professional here. That's how it was. And so we started looking. My wife and I, our parents are here in state and area, are from here. Our family's been around here several generations. So there's just a lot of strong ties here. So combine that, the ability to have our kids grow up around their cousins and their grandparents, and a family business opportunity in a service business, service oriented industry, in an industry that is increasingly important. You feel there's an opportunity to be, you know, those people, same as in football, you used to hear, in college, it was like the girls don't date a football player. They're a certain type of way. Well, I was always like, well, you know what? There's a lot of good guys in the football locker room. So I always want to dispel that myth. You hear some of those things about people in sales and people in the financial services industry that they're taking advantage, and we aim to be the opposite of that and just show it by how we, you know, try to treat our clients. And so it just fit our life, what we wanted our life to look like. I tell you what, it's the first time in my adult life where I could put a 3 or 5 year plan in place, because in this pro sports world, you don't know, things change, coaches get fired, you play poorly, it's just a different type of planning that you're able to do in pro sports and outside. So far it's been a good transition, and I can see, I can feel really good about the move that we've made.
Well, you know, I think that choosing family, choosing stability for your family over maybe the glory of sports and fame and things that could have continued a little bit longer is just really commendable, because I think when it all comes down to it, we want to have roots. We want to have time with our family. And, I know it happened up at the beginning of COVID, but you got back here before they didn't let you come.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, before they were not saying nobody in or out of another country.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, listen, we're going to have to obviously have a part two, because there's a lot more, but we are done with our time for today. So, hey, how do people get in touch with you if they want to get in touch with you about their financial services or whatever?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, our website's lulefinancial.com. Myself, Travis Lule, Tyler Lule, my brother, we're both on LinkedIn. My dad's on LinkedIn too, Dennis, but he's not as active on LinkedIn. So, but our office is lulefinancial.com. 503-769-7017. We're here. We've been in the state and community for 35 years, so we don't have plans to be going anywhere, though we do have clients that are spread out quite a bit through the West region. So
great. Well, listen, thank you so much. It's been just awesome getting to know you and learn more about that. And there's so much more to learn, I could tell, but I appreciate you taking time today. I know it's a busy day. It's crazy things going on. So appreciate you taking a little bit of time. And for all of you out there watching today, thank you so, so much for spending your time with us today. And I know that we're all about amazing people that connect. And I know we delivered on that today with Travis. So listen, have a fantastic rest of your day. Until we see you again, have a great day and a great life. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Travis.
Thanks for joining us for this week's episode of Marketing with Russ, aka #RussSelfie. Be sure to subscribe in your favorite podcast app so that you don't miss a single episode. Have an amazing day.